This is Steve Dale's Pet
Steve
World.
Steve Dale's Pet World.
Got an issue with Fido or Fluffy? Steve Dale is here to help.
What's up? That felt pretty good, right?
Steve Dale's Pet World.
Okay.
Whether your feline is missing the litter box or your canine doesn't like the mailman, call the show toll-free.
She said toll-free.
At 866-554-PETS.
They've done studies, you know.
That's 866-554-7387.
60% of the time, it works. Every time.
I've been talking about this a long time, and I feel very strongly about it. No, it will not eliminate puppy mills. I understand that. But if we can do something, anything, to help move in that direction, I am all for it. And this is doing that. That is preventing those pet stores that sell dogs and cats, and they are never, ever from responsible breeders, to prevent them from doing so, because they are not from responsible breeders. And that is what a suburb just outside Chicago just did. And I thought, you know, it'd be interesting to talk to not a pet professional, but a village trustee who voted for this. And it was unanimous. All the trustees, I'm told, voted for this. I'm curious about why it was so important to him, why he felt this was the right thing to do. We'll also go to school, Kitten 101 with Dr. Elizabeth Collarin. And millennials are finally doing something right. Finally. Having to do with our pets, changing the discourse in a way which I am just absolutely thrilled about. Most of all, though, I'm here to help you. I'm a certified animal behavior consultant. My phone number is 866-554-PETS. Toll free, 866-554-PETS. 554-7387. Kathy in Florida, welcome to the show.
Hello, Steve.
Hello, Kathy. What's going on?
I have a problem with my cat.
Oh,
I've had
no.
her for about 4 years. Mm-hmm. I found her at an abandoned home and took her in and had her taken care of, had her nails removed because she started scratching my furniture.
Oh.
The cat loves me. She follows me everywhere.
Oh.
She plays with me. She sleeps with me. She
oh.
cries when I leave.
Oh.
But when she jumps up on the arm of my chair and I pet her and rub her, all of a sudden she'll get a funny look on her face and she'll attack me. She bites.
Oh, okay. So you don't want her to bite you, I presume?
Yes.
Okay. I don't blame you. All right. So cats... Some of them, for no rhyme or reason, every cat is an individual. Every person's an individual. It is no different with our dogs and cats. And some cats have a petting tolerance that just is not very high. They don't like to be pet that much. Cats are also control freaks, which is what you should keep in mind when I continue to describe what I'm going to describe. So what I want you to do is to pay attention to your cat. Your cat is saying to you, clearly signaling, and you're picking up on the signal. Stop it, and you're still petting the cat. So when your cat says stop it, I want you to stop it. But in fact, I want you to stop it before then. So what I want you to do is to pet your cat just once. Just once. And then your cat will say, well, come on, I want more. Then do it one more time. Leave your cat wanting more. Let your cat sort of be in control of all this. And leave your cat wanting more. And if you give your cat a really good treat when you do it at the same time, what you might be able to do over time is build up the cat's tolerance to being pet. Now, I'm assuming there's no physical explanation, and that's not always a good assumption to make. So I'm assuming your cat isn't saying stop it because it hurts, that there isn't arthritis going on or some undetected something else that is actually...
No,
that is
she
actually,
seems fine.
Well, but you don't have an x-ray machine in your house, you know?
That's true.
Yeah. How old's your cat?
About 4 years old.
So odds are, being a younger animal, that she is fine. Is she an indoor-outdoor cat?
Indoor.
Good, by the way. I was asking, though, because when cats go outdoors, you don't know what's going on with them. Cat could have fallen from a fence or... But even in the house, that sort of thing can happen. But assuming that nothing medical is going on, and you're probably right, it's probably a good assumption. Still, next time you go to the veterinarian, you might want to tell your veterinarian what's going on. And your veterinarian will feel around and say, oh, well, everything seems fine, or not. But in the meantime, what I want you to do is to do what I described. Just pet your cat once, let your cat say, come on, give me more of that, and just do it one more time. And at the same time, give your cat some sort of special treat And your cat will say, well, come on, I want more of that too. And over time, gradually, you may be able to build up the tolerance your cat has to being pet. And even at some point, just get up. You know, so you pet your cat twice, three, four times. You build it up to even five or six, then get up, you know, and say, you know, I've had enough. You know, let your cat ask you for more. And cats do like to be in control of things, right? So if you do that, you may be able to build up the tolerance. Now, it depends on the individual cat. Some cats say, Steve's advice is really great. A year later, I get the call. My gosh, my cat, 15 minutes, I could pet my cat. 20 minutes, I could pet. Whoever thought, you know, this cat only would last 15 seconds before the phone call. Other cats don't want to follow my directions. And you could enhance a little bit. I mean, you could certainly do that. And the best thing is you don't get bitten. And I don't want you to get bitten for a couple of reasons. First of all, it can impact the human-animal bond. Second of all, it hurts. And it could get infected. I don't want you to get bitten by your cat. So, if your cat's saying stop, I want you to stop.
Okay, I stopped. I will follow your advice, and I'll let you know later if it worked with my cat.
Well, I appreciate
your help.
Well, that is a deal. I will be waiting here until you call back.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Our phone number, I like her. Our phone number, I like most of you. Not everybody. Our phone number, I like all dogs and cats, though. Our telephone number is 866-554-PETS. You can also find me, as you can find, it seems, anyone, on Facebook. I do have a Facebook fan page, and I hope you do check that out as well. Millennials, they're finally doing something that matters to help our pets. Millennials are all about using technology, for example, to make a difference. But it's not only millennials who can set up the Blink camera system. It's all of you, any of you who can do it because it's so easy to do. Now, why is it worth doing? It's worth doing because this way you can see what your pets are doing when you're not home. I mean, forever, when I was a kid growing up, we thought about, you know, what are they doing? Are they ordering pizza in? What are they doing? Are they having a party? Are they inviting the dogs down the street to over? What do the cats think about that? All of those things. But there are actually scientific reasons here, behavior reasons, I'm serious, as to why we want to see what's happening. If you've just adopted a dog or a cat, for example, you want to see how that pet is responding in the new environment. You can't do that if you're at work, but, well, maybe you can with the Blink camera system, which, of course, the whole idea is to also add to home security. And if you're like most pet lovers, you miss your pets like crazy when you're away. So it's cool that you could check in on them anywhere, anytime from your smartphone so you know they're doing fine. And it's totally affordable. I'm talking about the Blink camera system. And with Blink, there's no contracts, no subscriptions, and Blink works with Alexa starting at just $99. Blink camera systems are always a smart choice for home and business, for security, and to watch your pets, if nothing else, to be entertained when you're bored at work. Visit BlinkProtect.com/Steve, BlinkProtect.com/Steve, BlinkProtect.com/Steve.
Right now, in your own backyard, there's a restless, hungry crowd waiting to be fed. It's not your in-laws who visit every summer like a recurring nightmare. I'm talking about parasites, ravenous fleas, starving mosquitoes, ticks with empty bellies, all looking for their next meal.
Is that Labradoodle I smell?
Don't let these famished little fiends make a meal of your dog.
Well, I'm going to engorge myself.
Get the unmatched protection of Vectra 3D. Vectra 3D quickly repels and kills hungry parasites, fleas, ticks, mosquitoes, and other biting pests. Vectra 3D has more kinds of protection than any other flea and tick brand, and it's only available from your veterinarian. Get up to $25 in savings with purchase. Please don't feed the parasites.
Say hello to Rover, a.k.a. dinner.
Let's eat.
Please go first.
My mouth parts are watering.
AB negative, my favorite.
Visit your veterinarian for Vectra 3D or VectraPet.com to learn more.
It's flu season, and in addition to protecting yourself and your family from the flu, you also need to protect your dog. Like human flu, both strains of canine flu are highly contagious and can cause runny nose and eyes, cough, fever, pneumonia, and in rare cases, even death.
Don't worry. A new vaccine covers both strains of canine influenza. That means better protection for half the injections. Don't wait. Vaccinate. Contact your veterinarian or visit doginfluenza.com to learn more.
Aw, are you thirsty?
If you're a cat owner, you should know subtle behavioral changes can sometimes be early signs of illness.
Wow, you really need a brushing.
Increased thirst, decreased grooming, and many other changes can be harder to detect in cats, and cat owners may not notice a change until the disease is advanced.
You don't seem yourself lately.
That's why every cat should receive a wellness exam twice a year. Wellness exams can help your veterinarian detect, treat, or ideally prevent health problems before they become serious.
I think it's time you had a checkup.
Call your veterinarian and schedule your cat's wellness exam today. Or visit avma.org for more information. A message from the American Veterinary Medical Association and your local veterinarians.
He doesn't bite, and he has all his shots. This is Steve Dale's Pet World.
So if you're a millennial, you'll appreciate what I'm about to say. Or if your kids are millennials or you have grandkids, you'll appreciate it. And this impacts you as well if you have a pet. So, and of course, most of you listening do have at least one pet. So veterinary visits, and I've been talking about this for years now, too many years, have been on the decline. And now there's data, IDEX has shown some of that data. And when the IDEX study came out, an amazing study came out, we talked about it first on this radio show. But there's been more than that information, which is valuable, from IDEX to demonstrate that our pets are not benefiting from not getting checkups. Last week, I talked about a diabetic cat. Well, cats gain weight so gradually, and we live with them every day, so it's hard to tell that they've gained maybe a little too much around their middle. So you go to the veterinarian who tells us that, but if you don't go to the veterinarian, you don't know. And because of overweight cats, we see a lot more diabetes and other problems associated with obesity and cats that are overweight. Now, how does this all tie in? Well, veterinary visits have been on the decline. Our pets have not benefited from that and arguably have been harmed by that. So veterinarians can do more than ever before, but they cannot help pets that they are not seeing. Now that's changing. That's great. And it's changing for the better. Millennials are understanding the importance of checkups. Now, millennials tend to be choosy. They want excellence in veterinary care overall. And I understand that. So that's why Fear Free, this initiative to minimize fear, anxiety, and stress of veterinary visits, why Fear Free is doing so well. Cat-friendly practices, that is another example. They force practices that say they're cat-friendly to be cat-friendly and to think about things from the cat's perspective. So they earn, those practices earn that certification. So these millennials are saying, okay, we want certain things from our veterinarian. We want to have questions answered. You know we're going to look online, and please understand that. And veterinarians that do understand that have done better by it. The other interesting thing that's happening is the millennials have influenced their parents, in some cases their grandparents, and also one would assume when millennials have children old enough to have pets that they will be influencers on their children as well. So it can be argued that the most influential generation, and I believe this crosses beyond veterinary medicine, the most influential generation ever, perhaps, are today's millennials. But thank you, millennials, for understanding that veterinary checkups and preventive care is truly very important. Coming up next, a conversation about something I've been talking about on the show for a very long time, and that is my concern about puppy mills. So if there's something that we can do, I want to do it. And that's what we talk about next.
Your calls are always welcome on Steve Dale's Pet World. Dial us up at 866-554-PETS. Welcome Welcome back to Steve Dale's Pet World.
He looks like a panda and a Disney princess had a baby. All we need is
somebody to lean on. On the telephone now is Dr. David Oppenheim. He's a pediatrician, but he's talking to us as a village trustee of Vernon Hills, Illinois. It's a suburb of Chicago. And they became, I don't know, it's like the 300th community or more that have said, we are going to ban retail sales of dogs and cats at pet stores. We're going to find out why this is sweeping the country. In fact, two states, the entire states with more to come, are doing the same. So California, Maryland, I think New Jersey will probably be next because most of the towns, it seems, in New Jersey have done that. Banning the sales of dogs and cats at pet stores, it's something I'm all about. And Dr. Oppenheim, I know you feel the same way. And in fact, it passed, I'm told, unanimously. Why such support for this bill in a community that is a typical, wonderful suburban community, in this case, outside Chicago?
Well, I guess the question would be, why not support something like this? We're all in favor. I don't know anyone who's not in favor of protecting animals. The question is where they acquire these animals and making sure that the animals that they get are healthy and also bred in proper conditions. So it was an easy ordinance to pass for us.
And you're referring to the fact that no responsible breeder will ever sell to a pet store. So if they're not getting these dogs or cats from responsible breeders, and I am not talking about, and I don't believe you are either, the stores that adopt animals, rescue animals through shelters or through rescue organizations. We're not talking about that. We're talking about selling dogs and cats, often for a fair amount of money. They're often so-called designer breeds, but sometimes not. They're never from responsible breeders. And I remember you called me some time ago and you said, I happened upon your website and story after story that you've written about this. Did it come as a surprise to you? Because I think a lot of people don't know where these dogs and cats truly are from, although I believe that's changing.
Yeah, it very much was a surprise to me. This issue came before us as a village board a number of months ago when a retailer that was not currently in our community wanted to join our community, and they actually sent us information prior to that meeting trying to distinguish themselves as a store that was not acquiring animals from puppy mills. But I was somewhat skeptical after reading that information and then after hearing their presentation, and that's when I decided to Google that store, and then I happened upon your website and all the information that you had, and that led me down this path of not only making sure that we didn't allow that particular vendor to join our community, but also to be more proactive and make sure others like them weren't allowed, but also I think really to send a message to other communities that this is where we stand, and keep the ball moving forward.
Yeah, and I know after talking with me that I put you in touch with the Puppy Mill Project, which locally in the Chicago area, but nationally, all over the country has been supportive, in fact, behind such bills, because the Puppy Mill Project, their goal, their mission is to see ultimately the puppy mills shut down. I don't know if these bills are completely going to do that, but it will and does stop support of puppy mills, which how can that not be a good thing? Now, you mentioned other communities around you and maybe other communities around the country. So this has caught on like crazy. You have all these cities, big cities, small cities, everything in between, including Chicago, including Los Angeles. Of course, as I mentioned, the entire state of California has now banned selling dogs and cats at pet stores. States are beginning to do this. Counties have done this and will continue to do it. Are you surprised that it's catching on? And what might your place be in helping make that happen around you and even around the country?
No, I'm not surprised that that this is catching on. In many things, once information like this gets out, it spreads like wildfire. And I was completely unaware of the extent of the scourge of puppy mills and how many dogs and cats come out of these facilities and how many dogs and cats are euthanized each year. Yeah, it's not surprising at all that that communities and local communities, counties, states are moving forward in this direction.
Dr. Oppenheim, thank you so much.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Steve Dale's Pet World. A real pet expert giving advice about real pets. Yeah, we're keeping it real.
Our phone numbers are... Actually, it's one phone number. Here, let me explain. 866-554-PETS, 866-554-7387. You see, one is you look at the letters, and the other, you just dial the numbers. 866-554-PETS. Jim in Florida, did I just make any sense or confuse people more?
You made plenty of sense.
Well, that's a rarity for sure. How can I help you, sir?
Well, we have two rescue dogs. They're about 3 years old. One is a full poodle. He's about 26 pounds. And the other is a poodle Bichon mix, and she's about 12 pounds.
A standard poodle is 26 pounds?
Yeah, he's a big miniature poodle.
Ah, okay. Gotcha. All right, and what's your question?
My question is, it seems that the female, who is the little one, seems to have some accidents right near her crate, right in front of it, as a matter of fact. I suspect that she's had some accidents in other areas of the house in the past, but it just seems like lately she's had some accidents like right in front of the crate. And I'm wondering whether... we let them out, you know, that has no bearing on whether or not she's going to, I think it's her. I don't know that it's not him because, you know, usually when a male goes, it's all over the place.
Hey,
concentrated in one area.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering whether or not she's doing this out of spite. We treat the dogs very well. We groom them ourselves. I mean, they're beautiful animals. And, I'd just like to see if I can get a little help to some suggestions on how I might be able to solve this problem.
Mm-hmm. How old is she?
Both of the animals are 3 years old.
Okay. And does this happen? So is she crated when you're not home?
Yes.
And does this happen more often when you get home and the dog immediately piddles? Or does she do this randomly throughout the day?
It's just something random.
Okay.
And my wife is a cancer patient, and occasionally we go away for a day to the hospital and then come home. And we have people that let her out. But there's no rhyme or reason as to why this occurs.
Well,
maybe spite.
No.
We're not around.
Nope. Could be anxiety because you're not around, but dogs don't do things for spite. So that I can eliminate. I mean, she may be upset at the change. Dogs like routine. She may be wanting you there more, but she's not actually thinking, I'm bad at them, and I'm going to pee all over the place. How would a dog know that pee would even upset us?
Yeah, I guess you got a point. Yeah, and this little girl, she will be by my side sitting in the chair. She has to have that body contact.
Sure.
If we're lying in bed, she'll crawl under the covers and make that body contact. So, you know, she does have that, you know, tie with us.
Okay.
Like that.
All right. So here are some possibilities. First of all, I do want you to take your dog to the veterinarian to rule out the unlikely, to be clear, prospect that this may be medical. What's more likely are these possibilities. First of all, small dogs sometimes just aren't taken out often enough. You know, their bladders are only so big. Also, house training in small dogs can be iffy in the first place. for some people and some dogs. So I wonder a couple of things. I wonder if your dog is potentially not going out enough. And when you gotta go, you gotta go. And oftentimes dogs will go to the same place because they smell that they've gone there before and it becomes that place. So certainly use an odor removing product because that will prevent encouraging the dog to go back to the same place, but it doesn't solve what created the problem in the first place, which is what we have to kind of figure out somehow. So
we have a pen downstairs and we just open the door right by the dog's crates. And when it's time for them to go, they just go on down and they have an area that, you know, they frequent. And, you know, I maintain the cleanliness of that area, but there's a fenced-in area at the bottom of the stairs, so we do let them out quite often.
Sometimes she'll
just mill around upstairs on the veranda rather than going down to take care of business.
So you've kind of potential. Is this in the house, the place where they go?
It's in the backyard.
Oh, okay. So here's what I want you to do from now on. I want you to take your dog out on a leash and to make sure your dog has actually piddled.
Right.
I'd suggest you do that maybe even before the veterinary visit. Give this a try. Make sure that your dog has actually peed. If so, treat your dog like a puppy. Say, oh, you're the most wonderful, good dog, hooray, and give your dog a treat instantly. Right. And try to also take your dog to the same place or really within inches so that place in your backyard becomes the dog's bathroom.
Right.
So
right.
Just like you would a puppy, take your dog out as consistently as you can, given your schedule. Reward your dog instantly for going when she goes. Say something, by the way, when she goes. Two things, actually. Say, good girl. But also, give it a word. Give it good potty, good piddly poopy, or whatever you say.
Right.
Give it some terminology, which comes in handy, by the way, on rainy days, because then you can say, go potty, or go piddly, and your dog will go instantly. It's a handy thing to have. If your dog doesn't go, and I'm sensing it's conceivable that half the time your dog's not going to go within 5 minutes, then bring your dog back in the house. You got a loaded weapon there, though. So tie your dog to you, tether your dog with a leash to you, or literally walk around the house with your dog on holding the leash on the other end of the leash. So you could see if she begins to squat, you scoop her up and you take her right outside and then you go through the routine I suggested. Reward your dog big time, praise her, all those things for going potty. If in 5 minutes or maybe 10 or 15 minutes she hasn't gone, then go back outside. You know she's got to go probably. So go back outside to the same place like I described and do the same thing again. If she doesn't go, back in the house and then back outside in 10 minutes after that.
Okay.
Now, our lives don't always allow that, but to the best of your ability, try that. My point is I'm guessing that given the opportunity, your dog's just having a good time in the backyard and isn't always peeing, comes back in the house, and at some point you got to go, you got to go, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Thank you for your advice, and we'll try a little behavioral change there, and we're very grateful for this advice.
Let me know what happens, because if it doesn't work out, then I've always got more.
All righty. Well, thank you very much.
All right.
Have a good day.
You too. My best to your wife and to you as well. Thank you. Our phone number, 866-554-PETS. So we've been talking a lot. Last week we celebrated cats because it is Cat Health Month. What about people that take in cats from the outside? Those cats matter too. And there are so many people, cat caretakers, that care for outdoor, feral, or community cats. We'll talk about caring for a stray kitten next. When do you want to spot that burglar? When he's casing your home or after he's in? Ask John, whose Blink camera alerted him to burglars trying to break in while he and his family were home. Or Shannon, whose Blink camera caught a thief stealing packages. Both times, Blink video clips were sent to the police to help convict the crooks. Blink Motion activated indoor and outdoor cameras are wire-free, set up in minutes, and run on two AA batteries that last up to 2 years. And if you're traveling, Blink's live feed option lets you monitor your home and check in on the pets from anywhere using the Blink smartphone app. No contracts, no subscriptions, totally affordable. And Blink works with Alexa. Blink camera systems make great gifts, and they're a brilliant way to monitor your package deliveries. Visit BlinkProtect.com/Steve. 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 Blink is an Amazon company.
Right now, in your own backyard, there's a restless, hungry crowd waiting to be fed. It's not your in-laws who visit every summer like a recurring nightmare. I'm talking about parasites, ravenous fleas, starving mosquitoes, ticks with empty bellies, all looking for their next meal.
Is that Labradoodle I smell?
Don't let these famished little fiends make a meal of your dog.
Well, I'm going to engorge myself.
Get the unmatched protection of Vectra 3D. Vectra 3D quickly repels and kills hungry parasites, fleas, ticks, mosquitoes, and other biting pests. Vectra 3D has more kinds of protection than any other flea and tick brand, and it's only available from your veterinarian. Get up to $25 in savings with purchase. Please don't feed the parasites.
Say hello to Rover, a.k.a. dinner.
Let's eat.
Please go first.
My mouth parts are watering.
AB negative, my favorite.
Visit your veterinarian for Vectra 3D or VectraPet.com to learn more.
It's flu season, and in addition to protecting yourself and your family from the flu, you also need to protect your dog. Like human flu, both strains of canine flu are highly contagious and can cause runny nose and eyes, cough, fever, pneumonia, and in rare cases, even death. Don't worry. A new vaccine covers both strains of canine influenza. That means better protection for half the injections. Don't wait. Vaccinate. Contact your veterinarian or visit doginfluenza.com to learn more.
The only radio show for the whole family that often advises using toys with feathers.
I miss my little kitty cat.
Welcome back to Steve Dale's Pet World.
So I'm very lucky I get to visit these veterinary conferences, even speak at these conferences. There are two very, very large conferences. Each says, we're the biggest, not the others. But no, we're the biggest. We're the biggest. We're the biggest. It doesn't matter. So I spoke at the VMX Veterinary Conference last month in Orlando, Florida. This month, it's the Western Veterinary Conference. And both times, the talk that I'm giving, trampoline, let's see, it's something, I don't know the name of it, the trampoline that's bringing back veterinary visits, thank you millennials, or something like that. And it's what I spoke about earlier, thanking millennials for going back to the veterinarian, and our pets are benefiting by that. But when we go to these conferences, we take our microphones and interview a lot of people about the latest news in veterinary health, and that we begin to do, provide that news, next week on the show.
Great simple words.
You've got mail.
Woohoo!
You can always email your questions to steve@petworldradio.net.
Dear Steve, my daughter planned to take in a stray kitten, but her two cats weren't friendly toward the little one, and she ended up giving the kitten to me. At first, he spent most of his time under the bed, but now he's very loving toward me. If I sit down, he's in my lap. However, if a stranger comes in the house, the kitten disappears under the bed. He hides, even when people he knows come to visit. Do you have any advice? It's from Janice in North Carolina. You know, really, this kitten or a cat that's becoming a cat, I don't know the age, is doing what's adaptively natural for a kitten or cat to do. Even with people they or objects they think they believe they know and can trust, they're kind of wary. Kittens are both predator and cats are predator and prey. So they have a different attitude than we do. They have a different attitude than dogs do. So the behavior you're describing is not abnormal. It's the first thing to understand. Secondly, especially considering the lack of socialization at a very young age, so it's heroic that you brought in this kitten. It's wonderful. I am not knocking that. But what I am saying is this kitten had no advantage of early socialization. And for kittens and cats, that's even more important than dogs. They need to experience the world at an even younger age in a positive way than dogs do. So what do you do now? Well, it's not too difficult. It sounds like your kitten and you are doing fine. And that's what's most important. Really,
What's the difference if the kitten or cat, even as an adult cat, doesn't like all of your friends and just kind of hangs out in another room? It doesn't really matter. It doesn't mean that cat is unhappy. Now, here's what I would do. When people walk into the house, it is a parade of cat treats. The best treats in the world for your cat come flying from the people's hand. Don't try to pet the cat. Don't drag the cat out from under the bed. But what you can do is when your sister comes, when your mom, whoever's coming over, your friends come over, they toss some treats to the cat. Very special treats, really good treats, only used for that purpose. And over time, your cat will, your kitten will associate, oh, people come over and this really good stuff happens. But it only happens when people come over. And in time, that and enticing the kitten maybe with an interactive cat toy, if you have cat-loving friends, they may be willing to do that. All of that may entice, and probably will, entice the kitten to come out a bit more and also to be more confident about people coming over. But I'll say it again, never force the kitten out. Also, another thing you can do to minimize that minimal anxiety is to, and it's a pretty simple thing to do and it works, is to plug in some Feel Away. Feel Away is a copy of a pheromone that cats naturally use when they rub their cheek pads against your pant leg or a table leg. They're depositing a pheromone, and it's a comfort pheromone. So by plugging in Feel Away, you're helping your kitten or your cat to feel more comfortable in his or her own environment. You can email questions to me, Steve, at stevedale.tv. Coming up next, we continue to celebrate National Cat Month, Kittens 101, with a kitten lady herself, Dr. Elizabeth Collard.
Officially sanctioned by the American Veterinary Medical Association.
This is Vets on Pets.
That's where Steve talks to the vets about your pets.
Don't worry, this won't hurt a bit.
We're about to go to school. Kitten Class 101 with Dr. Elizabeth Collarin, American Association of Feline Practitioners. I don't think this is your official title, but Queen of Cat-Friendly Practices. Oh. Speaking all over the world, actually, about that topic.
Changing the way cats are thought about and treated in the veterinary setting is my passion, I admit.
For those of us that get cats as kittens, which is really a fairly small percent, most people get their cats happily adopted from an animal shelter or a rescue, or the cat knocks on their door and says, I don't mind if you let me in. And people bring in their cats, but sometimes people do bring in kittens. They raise orphan kittens, or they get pedigree kittens, purebred cats, and they get them as kittens. So those of us who get their cats as kittens, what would be the number one thing you'd say?
Get two.
Get two of them.
Yeah.
That's brilliant, but explain why.
Well, because most people have another cat when they adopt the kitten, and older cats, I think they don't like to be picked on as much, and they don't like to play as hard as kittens do, and kittens need to play together. So I think of it as providing play for the two kittens that need it so much, and television for an older cat.
So well put. Now, if we have kittens in the house, I want to talk about everything. I want to talk about nutrition. Is kitten food as opposed to adult cat food beneficial?
Absolutely. You know, they're growing really fast. They just appear and suddenly they're cats. And that rapid growth requires more protein, more calcium. It's a very important to feed a well-balanced kitten food, and preferably one that is varied in texture so that they don't get tired of it, and they get a wide variety of food so that they don't become so committed to one texture or one flavor that you can actually change their diet at some point.
Well, and that this is huge what you're saying, so I want to talk about it a bit more. If cats as kittens at a very young age are exposed to different textures, hugely important. Also, soft food, moist food, and dry food, kibble, all the same. At some point in time, what you're referring to is, okay, 18 years later, that cat's going to be perhaps needing a special diet, a medical diet, for one reason or another, a prescription diet. Cats are very difficult to change over as far as diet goes, but if you do it just a bit throughout the lifetime, maybe that cat will be more accepting.
And novelty becomes something to look forward to instead of something to resist. So it's really an important part of it.
And along those lines, what I tell people to do is take a little, they're called pill guns, but it looks like a vaccine without the needle.
Mm-hmm.
And you put a pill in there, but I say put peanut butter in there. It's really four pills, but I say put peanut butter in there, give it to the kitten just once a week, three times a week, whenever, or tuna in there, whatever the kitten likes, salmon, and in fact, rotate, put different things in there. Then when you really need to put a pill in there, again, the kitten as a cat now, when you really need the pill, will be more accepting.
Yeah, and one thing that works really well is baby food. You know, beech nut, stage mm-hmm. two chicken baby food, those kinds of things that are nice and soft and easily malleable. And it's a fun treat for the kittens.
Yeah. I hate to say this word. It's a nasty word to you, puppy.
It's the lesser species.
So when we get a puppy, we talk about, and I do these interviews about house training, and you reward the dog for going where you want the dog to do its business outside. We don't have to do that with cats. We assume, though, they're hardwired to use that litter box to a degree. That's true. But I'm also a proponent of rewarding the kitten for when the kitten does it by giving the kitten praise and treats.
Sure, of course. But the most important thing, remember, is that cats are territorial. And so in that home range, there is the place that's designated as a bathroom. And just like I don't like to use a dirty bathroom, the importance of keeping that litter box clean as a whistle can't be overstated.
Scratching post, how important are they? And that way, you won't need to declaw that cat. As an older cat, won't be scratching in the wrong places.
Declawing is an awful thing, and we need to do away with it. And one of the ways to do that is to make sure that cats have the kind of scratching post that they need. It has to be sturdy and taller than them if they like the vertical ones, and one in a place where they like to scratch.
So for more information about all of this, catfriendly.com. Dr. Colleran, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.
Next week, a report from the Western Veterinary Conference.
This is a Ricky Ricardo production.
Be good to your pets. They'll be good to you. We'll talk to you next time.